All right, Jabal, say good morning. Let's begin. Beautiful daf today ahead of us. Today's daf is Memches, 48. And we are picking up Emiratz Hashem on Memzayim, 47b. And we're picking up at Itmar, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up from the bottom, right after the period. Last round of the line is Itmar. Itmar, shteki de edem ha-machisho zuazu. Jabal, say if you have two groups of witnesses who are contradicting each other. So Rashi's example is, Group A says Reuven killed Shimon. Group B says Reuven didn't kill Shimon. So that's the fundamental. So they're contradicting each other. By the way, it doesn't have to be in a capital case. It's any situation where you have two groups of witnesses who are actively contradicting each other. So what's the halacha? So we'll say, so now the shayla is as follows. Ravuna Amar Ravuna, Zu ba b'fnei atzmo meida, v'zu ba b'fnei atzmo meida. So we'll say, here's the shayla. Obviously, in this situation, we know that somebody is lying. Somebody is lying. The questions are both like, do they have the ability to give testimony in a different situation, in a different scenario? So Rav Huna says, yes, even though ultimately, again, they are disqualified from this particular edus, but they could show up elsewhere. In other words, they could come forward in a different case and give edus in a different case. Look at Rashi. Both say it's in Rashi, third of the intermediate wide lines. Zubav b'fnei atzmo meida be'edus acheres. V'chein zu v'afa pi sha'achas psula ein lecha lifsa lo zu v'lo zu ho'il ve'ein cha yodea eiza mehen psula. So Rashi says as follows. Therefore, again, even though I know that one of these groups is lying, if they come in to give testimony in a different scenario, right, in a different situation, then halacha lemaaseh, again, we will believe them, because again, I don't know which one is not telling the truth. Therefore, in the absence of figuring out which one is not telling the truth, I could believe them both independently. Rav Chista Amar, Bahadi Sahadi Shakri Lamali. Rav Chista says, what do I need these lying witnesses for? In other words, we'll say, Rav Chista says, once I know that one of them is lying, that essentially disqualifies both groups from giving testimony in other situations as well. Take a look at Rashi. Bahadi Sahadi Shakri Lamali. Hoyo va'achos psula vein achos mehen ne'emaros l'shamedis. We'll say, since I know that one of the groups is lying, and I know that I can't determine which one is lying, by definition, it disqualifies them both. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, both of the groups are disqualified from any other edos. So it says the Gemara. Gemara is going to go play this out in a couple of different cases. Shnei malvin or shnei lavin. So we'll say, if you have a case, well, let's say you have two lenders and two borrowers, two independent transactions. And I will say, on the two shtaros, you have witnesses. One group of witnesses, group A signs on shtar A, group B signs on shtar B. So we'll say, Hainu plutayu. This is the machlokes in Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Rav Huna will say, ultimately, again, that both shtaros are kosher, because even though, again, one of them was a lie, we don't know which one, and therefore, again, independently, their edos is accepted. Rav Chista will throw out both shtaros, because he'll say, Bahadi sahadi shakri lamali. Malve velove. So we'll say, what happens if you have one lender, one borrower, but two different transactions? In other words, same lender, same borrower, but two different transactions. Group A signs on shtar A, group B signs on shtar B. We'll say, in that case, again, we have the machlokes, Rav Chista and Rav Huna. But amazingly enough, they will agree, yad bala shtar ala tachtona. So we'll say, here's the problem. What do I know? I know one of those shtaros is puzzle. We'll say, I don't know that one of those shtaros is puzzle, because at the end of the day, one of the groups of witnesses are liars. So one of the shtaros are puzzle, but I don't know which one. And therefore, again, the balashtar, the person who's holding the document, i.e. the malve, the lender, yado al ha'elyona, ala tachtona. He only has the ability to collect the lower of the two loan amounts. We'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says over here, Yad v'alashar ala tachtona, bein Rav Huna, bein Rav Chista, in cholkin v'zu, shari zeh ba'alav mikoach shtei kitos, achas sheva achas psula, ein atayoch alifso l'shneim v'alachshir. So the problem over here is, I can't say both shtaros are kosher, because I know at the end of the day, one of the groups of witnesses is pasul. I can't say both shtaros are pasul, because I know one of the groups of witnesses are kosher. Therefore, the only thing I could do is, I know I could collect one of the debts. But again, the yad balashtar al tachtona, you can only collect the lower of the two debts. Next, shnei malvin v'lo ba'echad. What happens if you have two lenders and one borrower? Ushnei shtaros. And I will say, so again, two lenders, so two lenders lend to the same person, obviously with two different documents. Haimu Mastisis. So we'll say that'll be the paradigmatic case of the Mishnah, that'll be the machlokis of Huna and Rav Chista, whether or not these shtaros are good. Beis Lovin Umal Ve'echad. It will say, what happens, Beis Lovin, two borrowers and one lender, Ushne Shtaros, and two different documents, Mai. So we'll say, what is going to be the halacha under that circumstance? That's Teku. Ultimately, again, I will say, that case we cannot resolve. So we'll say, so we are left over here with the machlokes, ultimately again between Rav Chista and Rav Huna. Namely, again, I will say, when you have the following situation, when you have two groups of witnesses who are contradicting each other, and therefore I know one of them is lying, are both groups believed in other cases? And I will say, so again, in Rashi's example, one group says Reuven killed Shimon, other group says Reuven didn't kill Shimon. Okay, so somebody is lying. So the question is, will they be believed to give testimony in other situations? Rav Chista says no. Once you know that one of them is a liar, and we can't ascertain who is a liar, both are out. That's Rav Chista. Rav Huna will say no. They could both come independently and give edus, and because we don't know who is the liar, ultimately, again, both will be believed until we can prove which one is the liar. That's the fundamental machlokas over here between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, and the Gemara is going to try to go ahead and try to prove who is correct. Masiv Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. So Rav Huna Bar Yehuda raised the kasha. Tap of Memches. Echad Omer Gavoa Beis Merdos Ve'echad Omer Shalosh Edusikim. So we'll say Kiddush HaKadosh. So the Kiddush HaKadosh witnesses show up to testify about the new moon. One witness says that the moon was literally two ox goads off the earth. And I will say what they are testifying about is how high the moon is off the ground, so to speak, obviously based on their ocular intake over here. So the idea is, so one individual says that it was two ox goads off the earth. And one says three. Edusan kayemes. So both say those two individuals could form together as an edus. Why? Because we'll say, since again we're dealing on people's ability just to make an assessment, right, based on what they're seeing. So there's a margin of error which is acceptable. So one says two ox goads, one says one ox goad. That's fine. Echad omer gimel ve'echad omer hey. They will say if one says three and one says five, then edusan v'teila. Then I will say ultimately again the edus is batel. Why? Because that disparity is too much. It's too much. They can't combine under those circumstances. However, umitstarfin le'edus acheres. But Rabbi will say each of these individuals can go ahead and be mitstarif for a different edus. Now, we'll say, now here's what the Gemara is assuming over here. If one says three and one says five, so the Gemara is saying, see, there's two ways you can look at it. Either just one is correct, one is incorrect, or one is telling the truth and what? One is lying. Yet, what do we see over here? The Gemara says that even though one may be lying and we don't know which one is lying, each of them could go on and testify regarding other matters. My love, le'edus mamon. Are we not referring that they could go on and testify for even other monetary things? And in which case, Rabbi Osai, this would seem to be a proof to Rav Huna, right? That even if witnesses are thought to be liars in one situation, we don't know which one is the liar, they can go on and give edus in other circumstances, to which the Gemara says, no. I'm Rav Huna. No. What the Gemara is talking about here, Rabbi Osai, in Rosh Hashanah, is that even though these two individuals cannot form a testimonial unit themselves, because one is saying three, one is saying five, and the disparity is too great, but each can combine with another eight. So we'll say if another eight echad shows up and says it was three ox goads off the earth, then ultimately, again, that one who said three could combine with that other one. So the Gemara says, "Dahavi lehu trei v'chad, vein dvarash shel echad b'makom shtayin." Because we'll say if that's the case, it would be two witnesses against one, and one witness ultimately, again, does not hold any water against two. So we'll say, so therefore, again, Halacha lemaisa, the Gemara doesn't prove. So how do we pass in Abosa? Because this actually is a fundamental issue that requires incredible, incredible discussion. So again, you have a situation where witnesses are contradicting each other. We're not sure. One of them is lying. We don't know who is lying. So therefore, we dismiss the edus. The question is, can these people then go ahead and show up and testify in other situations? So also the Shulchan Aruch says the following: Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat Hilchos Edus Simin Lamed Aleph Seif Aleph. Shtei ki de edim hamachishos zuazua. If you have two groups of witnesses who contradict each other, sheba ed echad mikat zuva ed echad mikat zuva idu beedus acheres ain kind of this fine. He says ba kat zuva ifne atzma veidu edus. Uba kazuve idub edus bifne atzma mekablin kol echad mehen kol achas bifne atzma. So we'll say the halacha is we paskin like Rav Huna, that even if you have two groups of witnesses who contradict each other, and I will say therefore again we know that one group is lying, somebody here is lying, and therefore in this we'll call it in case A we go ahead and we throw out the testimony. If that does not disqualify either of those groups from giving testimony in other circumstances. And therefore, Allah says, if either one of those groups were to go ahead and show up in a different context, we would accept their edus. Well, so the only case where we wouldn't accept their edus is where one witness from group A, one witness from group B, come together to form a testimonial unit, that we would not accept. Why? Because it will say, we know with absolute certainty that what? One of them is a liar. So therefore, that group is disqualified. But if either of the other groups, right, if either of the individual groups comes along, ultimately to give testimony, then Allah says again, we would believe them. And I will say, that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So the Gemara goes right there. So remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the case of Chen v'ni Alpin Kaso. So remember again, the case, I'm sorry, this is not Chen v'ni Alpin Kaso. This is, I'm going to the merchant to go ahead and give me peros, and give me fruit. So what happens? So the Gemara says, is there sauce? Amar l'chem b'ni t'en li b'dinar peros. So I say, I'm just quoting from the Mishnah. I say to the shopkeeper, give me a dinar's worth of peros. B'nasan lo, amar lo t'en li os a dinar. So the chem b'ni gives me the peros. And what happens? Afterwards, the chem b'ni tells me, give me the dinar. I say, I'm the balabas. I say, I already paid you. Right? And you put it in your change purse. What's the halacha? Yishava balabayis shenasal as a dinar. The balabayis has to swear that he already paid. That he already paid. So it says the Gemara the following. Fine. Amr lechem b'nitim b'dinar peros. Tanya Amr Yehuda. E masai. It will say ultimately again, when do we say that the balabayis has to swear that he gave the dinar? That's only bizman shaperos tziburin umunachin ushtein orin alein. We'll say that is only when what? That is only when the fruit is piled and standing between both of them. Look at Rashi. It's almost right across from Rashi. Emase bizman shaperos. Emase tzarch balabayis lishava. Bizman shaperos siburn. But say, when the fruit is, let's say, right there on the counter, it's piled up in the counter, and in between the merchant and the buyer, and what happens? The buyer says, I gave the money. The merchant says, no, you didn't. That's when the balabayis has to swear that he already paid so he could take the fruit. Aval if shilin bekupasa la'achorov. Rabbi say, if the fruit is already in the basket of the balabayis, and now the balabayis is claiming I paid, and the chen b'ni is saying, no, you didn't, then Rabbi say, in that case, hamotzi mechaver alav harayo. In that case, again, the burden of proof rests upon the merchant, because since the balabayis is muchzuk in, he already has possession of the merchandise. Therefore, Rabbi say, if the chen b'ni wants to say that he did not yet pay, the burden of proof is upon the chen b'ni. Amr lo shulchani tainli. So we'll say, the Mishnah then seemingly brought down the same case just by a money changer. Utzricha. So Gemara says, we need both cases. I need the case both of the money changer and of the peros. Why? Iyashmoin and hakamaisa. Because if we were to just say the case of the peros, v'hach kamri rabban mishum de peri avidi demarkavi, v'chevan demarkavi, l'mashule. Well, so our thought is as follows. You know, in a case of fruit, I will say fruit rot. So because fruit rot, sometimes it's in the best interest of the merchant. What does the merchant just want? The merchant just wants the purchaser to what I will say, to take possession of the produce. Because once he takes possession of the produce, then what? No backsies. You know, that's it. You're done. Transaction is sealed. You're going to pay me. So I could see that in a case of produce, sometimes a merchant would allow the purchaser to take the produce even before the purchaser paid the money. And that's why there's a havamina that even though the purchaser has the produce, maybe he did not yet pay. However, aval mos, dilo merkavi, ema modu l'Rabbi Yehuda. But we'll say in a case of money, where money does not rot, I would have said, if I maybe the Rabbanon are molded to Rabbi Yehuda. Because we'll remember again, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says, kol shaperos biyado, yado al ha'al yono. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda ultimately says, that lamaisa, whoever has the produce has the upper hand. So I might have thought, therefore, again, in the case of Mos, maybe it gives it to Rabbi Yehuda, the Itmar Baha, and if we would have just had a second case, Baha Kamalu Rabbi Yehuda, Ava Bahach, but in the first case, Emo Odulu Rabban. I would have thought in the case of the Peros, maybe Rabbi Yehuda is Moda to the Rabbanon, therefore against Yichah. Therefore, I need both cases. Good. Kashem Shamu Apo Gemes Ksuvasa, Vechini Yisom Lo Yifru. So let's remember again, the Mishnah here begins to discuss what's called the Shavuos HaYisomim. So we'll say, just to give you the context over here, so the Mishnah said the same way that a woman who is pogemes ksuvasa. So what's pogemes ksuvasa? Woman shows up and a woman says, I went ahead and I received partial payment for my ksuva. So we'll say in that case, she's what's called pogem. Pogem means she blunts. She blunts the effectiveness of her ksuva. Why? Because she has a document that says, I am owed 200 zuz. But yet she just what? She just admitted she was paid part of that amount. So she blunted the effectiveness of the ksuva. How does she collect the rest of her ksuva? Only through what? Only through a shavua. So too, again, the Gemara says over here, so too, minichse yisomim, so to the, from yisomim, you can only collect with the shavua as well. So says the Gemara, what does that mean? When we say you can only collect from the yisomim with the shavua, who are we talking about? Miman. Ile mamilova. If you want to say that when Yisomim come to collect the debt of their father, so in other words, their father lent someone money. Now the father dies. The Yisomim want to collect from the borrower of their father. So what are you telling me? That they can only collect from the borrower with a Shavua? Avun shakel b'lo shua v'inu b'shavua? Could that be that their father could collect without a Shavua, and these Yisomim have to collect with a Shavua? Hachikam, this is what it means to say. V'chin ha'yisomim min ha'yisomim lo yifru ele b'shua. We'll say what it means is that when one group of Yisomim want to collect from another group of Yisomim, they can only collect with a Shavua. Now we'll say, now comes along the Gemara and gives a qualification. We saw this qualification already in yesterday's daf. Rav Ushua, we'll say this is an exceptionally important shita. Rav Ushua d'amritar bayu, lo shanu ela shemes malva v'chayi lova. So we'll say, watch this. Rav and Shmuel say as follows. This is only said, now what's only said? The ability for children to collect the debt of their father is only when shemes malva b'chayilova, where the lender predeceased the borrower. Aval meis lova b'chaye malva. But if the borrower predeceased the lender, kvar nischayev milva libne lova, then abosai, the lender is already chayev shvua to the yarshim of the lova, the ein adam moresh shvua libanov. And a father cannot bequeath a debt that is only collectible with a shvua to his kids. I will say, now what is this talking about? This is amazing. So we know that, I will say, when a man dies, so I mentioned this yesterday, not only does he bequeath any property that he owns at the time of his death, but what? Anything that he is owed also passes down to his Yarshim. So if Reuven lent Shimon $1,000, and Reuven dies, and he was not yet paid back by Shimon, so his children have the right to go ahead and go after Shimon to go ahead and collect that money. Rav and Shmuel advance a dramatic idea, which is as follows. That when do the Yarshim of the Malva, when do the Yarshim of the lender have the ability to collect the debt of their father? That's only if their father predeceased the borrower. So if the father, if the Malva predeceased the Lova, then by definition the children of the Malva can go and collect the debt from the Lova. From the Lova. However, I will say, watch this. If the Lova predeceased the Malva, so Reuven lent Shimon money, Shimon died, which means now who is that debt fall upon? That debt falls upon Shimon's children. I will say, if Reuven, the lender, wanted to collect the debt from Shimon's children, then what's the halacha? What's the halacha? He could only collect it with a shavua. Why? Because you could only collect from Yisomim with a shavua. I will say, money, Rav and Shmuel posits that money which is only collectible through a shavua is not bequeathed from a father to his children. Therefore, again, when Reuven dies, his children do not have the ability to collect that debt from the Yershim of Shimon, because that money was only collectible by a Shavua already while Reuven was still alive. That's what we'll say, the incredibly dramatic shita of Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Shalchu HaKamei Rav Elazar, Shavua Zumativa. So they sent before Rav Elazar. They say, what does that mean? So why would that be so? Look at Rashi, Mativa, Lafkia Mamonam, im in yecholam lishava osa shvua mamish. Rabbi say, now the logic behind it is as follows. The logic behind it is like this. Rabbi say, let's play this out. Right, Reuven lends Shimon $1,000. Okay, what happens? Reuven, now Shimon dies, so therefore the debt is inherited by his kids. Reuven shows up at the Yerushim and he wants to collect the debt. So he has to take a shvua. Say, what's the shvua? I swear I have not gotten paid back. That's the shvua. Rabbi said. Therefore, if Reuven the lender makes a shvua, fine. If Reuven dies and the debt is inherited by his kids, the problem we have is as follows. Can the Yerushim of Reuven swear definitively that the debt was never paid back to their father? Can they swear definitively? And the answer is no. What they could swear is, to the best of our knowledge, the debt was never paid back. Our father never mentioned to us that debt was paid back. Our father, we have no record that debt was ever paid back. And even if our father told us that debt was never paid back, we can't say definitively what did or did not happen. We'll say, so Rav and Shmuel say, because the Yerushim of Reuven can never say definitively to the Yerushim of Shimon, your father didn't pay back the debt, therefore Rav and Shmuel say the debt effectively is uncollectible by the Yerushim of Reuven. The debt is uncollectible because of a technicality. The Shvuas HaYerushim says that the Malva says to the Yerushim of Belova, I swear the debt was not paid back. I swear definitively the debt was not paid back. Because the Yerushim of the Malva, in this case, because the Yerushim of Reuven, can't make that definitive Shvua, therefore Rav and Shmuel say the debt is uncollectible. So Rabbi Elazar, Shashachol coming to Rabbi Elazar, Shvua zu mativa. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Mativa, lafkim amonim, min yuchol nushava, osa Shvua mamish, yishu shvuas Yerushim, ki gon shur shlopakan lapa. So Rabbi Elazar says, I don't understand. Why can't the Yerushim of Reuven the Malva just simply show up and tell the Yerushim of Shimon the Lova, listen, to the best of our knowledge, the debt was never paid back. Well, so that's Shua's Yerushim. To the best of our knowledge, Shua's never paid back. I can't say definitively. But we look through our father's records, our father never made any mention of it. Therefore, to the best of our knowledge, the debt was never paid back. And ultimately, again, let that be enough to collect the debt. To which the Gemara says, Shalach lu, Yerushim nishpan Shua's Yerushim benot. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar argues with Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Elazar says that in this case, Rabbi said the Yerushim of Reuven, the Malva, could in fact show up and say to the Yerushim of Shimon the Lova, to the best of our knowledge, our father never collected this debt, and therefore we are here to collect. So it's a fundamental machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel about what happens in a case where the Lova is a very specific case. The Lova predeceases the Malva, so the Malva for collection was already chayef to take a shvua to the Yerushim of the Lova. The Malva then dies. The debt is inherited by the Yerushim of the Malva. Do the Yerushim of the Malva have the ability to collect from the debt from the Yerushim of the Lova? Rav and Shmuel, no, because the Yerushim of the Malva can't take a definitive Shvua. Rabbi Elazar says, yes, because they can take a regular Shvua, a Yerushim, which says, to the best of our knowledge, the debt was never collected, and with that they have the ability to collect. Fundamental machlokas. Shalchum mei Rabbi Ami. So also listen to this. So in the days of Rabbi Ami used to get apparently like a lot of kashas, like a lot of shilas like this. So the Gemara says, Amar kulei ashalchulei va'azli se'i ashkichon bataima milo shalchinelu. So also Rabbi Ami used to get like a lot of kashas like this. And he would say, I tell everybody the same answer over and over and over. If there was new information, I promise, I would share it with you. So the Gemara says, Milo Shachina Luhu, Ela Amar Rabbi Ami, Hoyo Va'asan Liadan, Neim Abba Milsa. So Rabbi Ami says, but you know, since this kasha keeps coming up, let's discuss it a little bit. So the Gemara says as follows, Amad Bedin Umes, Kvarnis Chayiv Malve, Libne Love Shvua, Ve'in Adam Morish Shvua Labanat. Well, listen to this. So Rabbi Ami wants to seem to qualify the ruling of Rav and Shmuel a little bit. He suggests as follows. Then if, let's say, the Lova dies, and the Malva had already begun the proceedings to go ahead and collect the debt, which would require him to take a Shvua from the Yerushim. But before he took the Shvua, what happened? He died. In that case, we say that the Yerushim of the Malva don't have the ability to collect the debt. Why? Because since they were Omed Bedin, the obligation of Shvua was already triggered, and the Shvua cannot be taken by the Yerushim of the Malva. However, again, Lo amad bedin. But if the malvah did not yet initiate the legal proceedings to go out and collect from the yershim of the lova, and then the malvah died, umeis, yershim nishva and shvuas yershim in Othlin, then ultimately again the yershim can take what we call shvuas yershim. Again, remember, shvuas yershim, the oath of the orphans, is the very simple oath of Rabosei, which says that what? To the best of our knowledge, the debt was never paid back. So what it is it's an oath that says that on one hand is going to enable them to collect, while at the same time says what? We don't know anything and everything about our father's affairs. Just to the best of our knowledge, this debt was not paid back, and therefore we're here to collect it. So also, Rabbi Ami wants to suggest that if Lamaisa legal proceedings were not yet initiated, and then the Malva dies, that his children could collect. That doesn't make any sense. Atu, beidina kamechayv leshvua. Is it the legal proceedings that triggers the obligation for shvua? Meinna d'shcha shachiv love chayv lemavel ibnei love shvua. Once ultimately, again, the lova dies, then by definition, the obligation for shvua is triggered. In other words, once the lova dies, then it becomes clear that the only way for the malva to collect Rabbi Osei is through shvua. It's nothing to do with the legal proceedings. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ava Amram Nachman, I isa l'ravu d'shvua, isa, I lesa. So rather, Rav Nachman says, you're right. If you hold the position of Rav and Shmuel, then ultimately, again, this will be true. If you don't hold the position of Rav and Shmuel, then ultimately, again, it does not hold true. Alma Mesafkele. Ultimately, again, that I will say, that appears to mean that what? That Rav Nachman is Mesupuk, who the halacha follows. But yet, Vam Rav Yosef Armin Yumi, Avod Rav Nachman Uvda, Yachloku. Yet Rav said there was a case that came up. That ultimately, again, we're Rav Nachman Paskin Yachloku. Rav said, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Yachloku. Kabishneim chashudin. The dam yelaha shein echman yachalishava. Amales laha laha dirabu shmo. So we'll say there was a case. Ultimately, again, there was a case of Yachloku, which was the case of where both are suspect regarding Shavua, neither could take a Shavua. And what did Rav Nachman Paskin in that case of Osai? Rav Nachman Paskin ultimately again that it's Yachloku. Therefore, again, that was the case of Osai where neither party had the ability to take a Shavua. Yet Rav Nachman Paskin Yachloku, which seems to go against Rav and Shmuel, to which the Marsal Dvar Rabbi Meir Kamer, Balelo Strile. No, Rav Nachman was just saying this in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Meir, but he himself did not hold the way. Masi Rav Oshia, Bosai, fourth wide line down, or I should say, five lines up from the bottom, six lines up from the bottom, Mem Chesam Dalev. Master of Osher, Osher is the Kasha, Mesa Yorsha Maskirnes Ksubasa, Ad Eshim V'chamesh Shana. This is a very interesting case. Let's say again, a woman dies. So we'll say, so if a woman dies and she did not collect her Ksuva, first, so we'll say, the simplest way to understand this case is this is talking about a woman who was an Almana. Right? So Reuven is married to Rachel. And what happens? Reuven dies. Rachel's an Almana. As an Almana, she is entitled to collect her Ksuva. But she never collected it. She just never collected her Ksuva from the estate. So what happens? Now she dies. Her children want to collect the Ksuva from the estate. The Gemara now says over here, Maskirin es Ksuva sad esrim mechamishanim. The children, the heirs, have 25 years. There's a 25-year statute of limitations to collect a Ksuva. To which the Gemara says, what's the case here? Well, so look at Rashi. Ad esrim mechamishanim mishameis baylo. Vim avru chav heishanim velo tavua hefsidua. Listen to this. Now, how are the Yisomim collecting? Remember, there are two sets of Yisomim over here. Who are the two sets of Yisomim? Well, there are two groups of Yisomim. There's the Yisomim, right? There's the Yisomim of the woman who died. And then there's the Yisomim, ultimately, again, of the husband who died. So ultimately, what do we see over here? That the children, the Yisomim of the wife, have the ability to collect the Ksuva from the Yisomim of the father. Yet, Rabbos say, now how do they collect it? How do the Yisomim of the woman collect it from the Yisomim of the father? By saying, to the best of our knowledge, our mother never collected her Ksuva. Could they say definitively? Could they say with absolute certainty? No. So Rose, they don't have to. That's called Shvuas HaYershim. Shvuas HaYershim is, to the best of our knowledge, our mother never collected this ksuva. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, they can't collect that. So what do you see from here? You see that one set of Yershim can collect from another set of Yershim, even just with the Shvuas HaYershim, to which the Gemara says, HaMaya Skinon, Shenishba'a Umesa. But say, what's the case over here? The case is where the woman, before she died, wanted to collect her ksuva from the yarshim of her late husband. She already swore. She swore that she didn't collect her ksuva. But what happened? She died before she could collect it. So therefore, they could collect it based on her shvua. The Gemara says, Tashma, Nasa Rishona Umesa, a man married wife number one, and she died. Nasa Shnia Umesu, then he married wife number two, and he died. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Shnia v'yarsha kodmin liyarsha rishona. And we'll say, ultimately, again, the second wife and her Yarshim have precedence over the Yarshim of the first wife. We'll say, that's because, that getting into the technicalities over here, that's also because the first wife only has ksuvas ben in dichrin, since she predeceased her husband. Technically, she is totally inherited by her husband. It's only if you remember, again, there's nothing for the Yarshim. It's only if you remember, again, back to our Ksuvas days, that there is a concept called Ksuvas Benin Dichrin, which was stipulated in most Ksuvas that a man agreed that any male children of this particular wife would inherit her Ksuva, even in the event that she predeceased her husband. But again, because of that, the children of wife, the Yarshim, number two, have precedence over number one. Hachanami, so I'll say, see from here, they can also collect with Shvuas HaYershim. Hachanami Shishvua Mesa. So the Gemara interprets the same thing. This must be a case where she took a Shvua, ultimately again, and then died. Tashma, Aval Yershav, Mashbiyan Osa, Ves Yersha, Ves Aboyin Birshusa. So I'll say, ultimately again, but yeah, we have another price that says that his Yershim have the ability to go ahead and administer an oath to her, the surviving spouse, and to her Yershim, and to anyone who comes in her stead. So we'll say, you see from here that Yarshim are extracting from other Yarshim with a shvua. Amar Shmai Litzdadin Katani Osa Ba'amana the Osa Ba'amana the Arsha Bigrusha. I'm supposed to say, the Gemara says the Osa is talking about the Amana case and the Yarshim is talking about a Grusha case. Master of Nasim Baroshia Yafek Koach Abemikoach Av, the father, the Ben, excuse me, the son has a Koach above and beyond that of the father. We'll say, I'm a base. Sha'ben gova bein b'shvua bein shelo b'shvua. Because the son has the ability to collect with a shvua or without a shvua. Va'av eno gova ela b'shvua. But yet the father only has the ability to collect ultimately again with a shvua. Heichidam, I will say, what's the case? The mace lova b'chaye malva. I will say, the case must be where the borrower died during the lifetime of the lender. V'katani, and yet what do we see? Sha'ben gova bein b'shvua bein shelo b'shvua. But you see that the son has the ability to collect the bosei with what? With the shvua or without a shvua? The Gemara says b'shvua shvuas yarshim. So with the shvua must mean shvuas yarshim. Shelo b'shvua k'rav Shimon Gamliel. The bosei without a shvua must reflect the opinion ultimately of Shimon Gamliel. Amar Rav Yosef Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Be'shamahi da'ami shtara omi legavoski gavoi dami. The bosei, this must reflect the view of Be'shamah, who holds that what? That a shtar that is already fit for collection is as if it is already collected. Ikla Rav Nachman Lusura. Suppose Rav Nachman went to Sura. Olagabe Rav Chisa. Suppose I say, so just to understand, we're still in the same machlokas. Rav and Shmuel with Rav Elazar. Suppose I say, again, a simple machlokas. Well, not a simple machlokas, but a profound machlokas. Rav Elazar, we're talking about a debt in a case where ultimately, again, borrower predeceases the lender. In which case, lender would have to collect with the shvua from the yarshim of the borrower. Now, lender dies. So the shaila is, Do the yarshim of the lender have the ability to collect this debt from the yarshim of the borrower? Rav and Shmuel say no. Rav and Shmuel say no. Why? Because at the end of the day, because there was already a shvua in place, and the malvishvua was, I swear with absolute certainty that I never collected this debt, and his yarshim can't make that same shvua, therefore the debt is uncollectible. Rabbi Elazar says, it is collectible, and the yarshim just make the regular shvuas hayarshim, will say, which is what? We swear to the best of our knowledge that the debt was never collected, and they can collect from the yarshim of the lova. That's the fundamental halakha we're still trying to figure out. So watch this. Ikrav Nachman Surah, Nachman Tesurah. Jose is amazing. Olagabe Rav Chista v'Rabba Barafuna. So Rav Chista and Rabba Barafuna came to him. Jose, first white line on Chesam and Beis. Amrulei, Leisei Mar, Ne'akra laha dirav u'shmuel. So also they came and they said, Rebbe, can you please uproot, right? Can you please overturn the ruling of Rav and Shmuel? So also says, Rav Nachman comes and writes the Shal Tesura, and the first thing they say to him is, can you please overturn the ruling of Rav and Shmuel? Amar lohu, ichpali v'asai kolhani parsa, le'me'akra laha dirav u'shmuel. Do you think I traveled all this way to overturn the ruling of Rav and Shmuel? Which was an answer of saying, no, I'm not doing that. Ella, havu delo lo sif ale. Rather, what I will tell you is, don't extend the ruling of Rav and Shmuel. In other words, that the ruling of Rav and Shmuel should only apply to the exact specific case for which they were discussing. So the Gemara says, kigon mai. Well, so what's an example of a case where you wouldn't extend the ruling of Rav and Shmuel? Damar Rapapa, because Rapapa says, hapogim eshtaro umes yarshin. But say ultimately again, if one is pogim the shtar, then we'll say, now what's the case? Sorry, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, go, bless you, hadra papa, hapogim shtaro, shahode bebezin shineskabel ktsas. So we'll say, let's say again, the lender agrees, or the lender admits, that he already received partial payment of his document. Okay? Utran lo yifras ashtar ele b'shvua. V'imes Yershim Nishbayan Shvas Yershim Anot of Allah Dinamak Rav Shmuel. So we'll say in this case over here, the lender admitted that he already received partial payment, then he died. So Mace Yershim Nishbayan Shvas Yershim Anot. Ultimately, again, we'll say in that case, he wouldn't have to apply the ruling of Rav and Shmuel, and the Yershim would be able to take a regular Shvas Yershim and would be able ultimately to collect. Haud Shachiv Shavik Arba. So we'll say, ultimately, again, there was a man who died, but he left behind a guarantor. So we'll say, this was a borrower who died, and he left behind the guarantor. Savra papa lemeh mahanami dololo sif ale, who, so, simos, ha, nami, who dololo sif ala, who amarle, so amarle, rafunabri javi shula papa, atu arva, lav basra yasmi azel. So we'll say, there was a man who left behind, who borrowed money, left behind the guarantor. So we'll say, so originally the havamina was, that this should be a case of that was dissimilar to the original case of Rav and Shmuel, and therefore, again, in this case, the ruling of Rav and Shmuel would not apply. To which the Gemara says, of course it applies, because at the end of the day, even if you extract payment from the guarantor, who is the guarantor going afterwards? No, it doesn't. Going after, he's going to go after the Yarshim. Therefore, mostly, it's no different than a case of collection from the Yarshim. Who deshach v'shavek v'shavek acho. There was a man who died, Rabbi Osai, and he left behind a brother. Savar Rami Bar Chama lemeimar hanami delolo sif alei. So Rami Bar Chama thought this would also fall into the category, Rabbi Osai, of a case of Rav Nachman's ruling, where you don't have to pass like Rav and Shmuel because it's dissimilar from the original case. Amli Rava Mali shelo pakdani abba, Mali shelo pakdani achi. Why, Rabbi Osai, would it make a difference whether the Yarshim are saying our father never told us that the debt was repaid, or my brother never told me the debt was repaid? Amr of Chamer, we'll say, so bottom line, here we go. Hashta, dilo itmar hilchas alok rab shmuel, dilo krab elazar. We'll say, now that we have not established who the halacha follows, does the halacha follow Rabbi Shmuel, or does the halacha follow Rabbi Elazar? Hay dainen da avid krab shmuel, avid, David krab elazar, avid. We'll say, it's one of these interesting situations in halacha, where however the Beis Din paskins, it's appropriate. If the Beis Din paskins like Rabbi Shmuel, wonderful. If the Beis Din paskins like Rabbi Elazar, that is good as well. Amar Papa, Hai Shtar Diyasmi. Therefore, we'll say, if we have a Shtar Diyasmi, ultimately, again, we'll say, if we have a situation like we described before, where the Lobed, the borrower, predeceased the lender, in this case, we'll say, Lo Mikra Karinon, we will not tear up the Shtar, right? Velo Agbuye Magbinon Bey. But ultimately, again, we also won't allow the Yershim of the Malve to collect with that shtar. Why not? We won't collect with it. Dilmos really like Rabbi Shmuel, because they go like Rabbi Shmuel. Umikra lo karina lei, but we also won't tear it up. Why? The high dina the avik Rabbi Lazar of it, because we'll say, we just said before that if a basin pasuk is like Rabbi Lazar, that is a proper psak halacha as well. Hahu dina the avik Rabbi Lazar. There was a particular dain of Osai, a particular Beis Din, which paskin like Rabbi Elazar. Havatzur mir abonav amasye. There was a Talmid Chacham who was there present in the city. Amarlei, I sina igartim ima arava, deles hilchas like Rabbi Elazar. I'm going to bring you a letter from Eretz Yisrael that says that the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Elazar. Amarlei, lichitesi, good, go get your letter. So the Gemara says, asa lakamid rachama, Amrali Haidina David Krabelazar Ovid. We'll say that in the letter also so it came before Rav Chama and Eretz Yisrael and Rav Chama Paskin that even though it could be, one can make the argument that the primary halacha follows Rabbi Shmuel, if indeed a based in Paskin like Rabbi Lazar, it is indeed a prior Pesach halacha. So we'll say, how do we Paskin halacha lemaisa? How do we, so remember again, this is about a very specific case, Rabbi Lazar, where you have the following situation. One more time. Ruvei lends Shimon money. Ruvein has $1,000. What happens? Shimon dies. The debt is inherited by his Yarshim. If Ruvein wants to collect that debt, what does he have to do? He has to swear. What's the shvua that Ruvein has to take? I swear I did not collect my debt and ultimately collect from the Yarshim. What's the wrinkle in this case of Osai? Ruvein dies. Ruvein dies. The ability to collect the debt is now inherited by his children. So I'll say, now what you have over here are two sets of Yarshim. Now the Yarshim of the Malva, of the lender Ruvain, want to collect from the Yarshim of the Lova, Shimon. Can they? Rav and Shmuel Paskin, no. Why? Because Rav said, here is the problem. In order to collect from Yarshim, you have to be able to make a definitive statement, which is, the debt was never paid back. The Yarshim of the Malva cannot make a definitive statement. The most definitive statement they can make is, As far as we know, the debt was never paid back. They cannot, so because they can't make a definitive statement, Rav and Shmuel say that the Yarshim of the Malva can't collect from the Yarshim of the Lova. Rabbi Elazar says, not true. Rabbi Elazar says, as long as they make what we call the Shvuas HaYarshim, which is the Shvuah the Shvuas HaYisomim, which is the Shvuah that says, to the best of our knowledge, our father never collected the debt, the Yarshim of the Malva can collect from the Yarshim of those. So what says, how do we paskin? Rice the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Kuf Ches, Sif Yud Aleph. The Mishnah says as follows. We'll say this is our case. If the bar predeceased the lender, V'achakach Meis HaMalva, Ein HaYarshim, Ein HaYarshim, Bein Shem Banim, O Achim, O Shai Yarshim, Notlim klum afilu b'shvua shari kvar neschayiv hamal b'shvua liyarshi alove kedina avali parmi nichsa yisomim ve'ein adam morish lebanav mamon shene yochal ligvoso ela b'shvua. So we'll say it sounds like Shulchan Aruch Paskin is like Rav and Shmuel that Allah Chalamai say father cannot bequeath to his children money which is only collectible through a shvua. However, vim avar hadayin v'yishpia yarshem alev v'gavu chovam emotziim b'yadam. Let's say this is amazing. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. The Shulchan Aruch says that Halacha follows Rav and Shmuel. Halacha follows Rav and Shmuel. Therefore, I will say, in a case where the borrower predeceases the lender can only collect with a Shvuah, then lender dies, lender cannot bequeath to his children, right? Money that is only collectible through a Shvuah for one simple reason. Because the children can't take the Shvuah that the father could have taken. Therefore, again, the Halacha is like Rav and Shmuel. But the Shulchan Aruch says an amazing twist. Was it this, Rav will say? That if the Beis Din, in fact, ended up paskening like Rebbe Lazar, and what? Administered a Shavuah to the Yarshim of the Malva, and with that Shavuah they collected the money. Once they collected the money, then what? We will not extract it from them. Rebbe is saying, what a strange halacha. So the halacha, we pasken like Rav and Shmuel, but if the Beis Din ended up paskening like Rebbe Lazar, we will not overturn the decision of the Beis Din. The ruling stands. I will say, where does that halacha come from? It comes right from here. It's really, really just mirroring the psak, ultimately, again, of the Gemara. That since the Gemara itself says, since we were not clear, the Gemara doesn't come to a decisive conclusion about ultimately, again, who we paskin like, essentially, again, although the primary halacha seems to side with Rav and Shmuel, if you paskin like Rabbi Lazar, the psak indeed is good. Amazing. Amazing. So more goes by. The Bosa says, just do another line. Be'unish bon. So let's remember again, the Mishnah said, and these are the group of people who swear, it sounds like, even without a taino, right? They ultimately, again, swear even without a claim. So the Gemara says, who are we talking about? Partners and sharecroppers and executors. Elun Rishpon Shlobataino. So the Gemara says, Atu Bishuftani Askinon, are we dealing with fools? In other words, no one takes an oath without a claim. Or what does that mean? These are people who take an oath even without a claim. The Rosh Gemara is Hachi Kamer. Ve'elun Nishpon Shlobataino Bari, Elabataino Shema. So we'll say ultimately, you know, what it means is as follows. Up until now, so what we have been discussing is, in order to be obligated to take a shobos, you have to have what's called the tainas bari. Tainas bari means someone has to come at you with a definitive claim. However, if somebody comes at you with a with a iffy claim, then by definition that doesn't trigger a shvu, only a definitive claim. There are exceptions to that rule. Who are the exceptions to that rule? Hashutfin v'ha'arisin. Ultimately, you know, both say partners. So let's say Reuven and Shimon are partners. If Reuven and Shimon are partners of both sides, Reuven has the ability to force Shimon, his partner, to swear, even without a definitive claim. We'll get into this more, Meretz Hashem, tomorrow. But the idea over here is, under normal circumstances, to trigger a shvu, you need a definitive claim. But there are certain people, because their interests are so intertwined, one has the ability to take a shvu up. One has ability to ask to obligate the other to take a shvuah, even in the absence, ultimately again, of definitive proof. Rashi says, Tana ben bayis shamru. We'll say when the Mishnah talks about a ben bayis who's obligated to take a shvuah, lo she nichnas yotzi v'raglov. Someone just goes in and out of the house. Ela machnis lapolin umotzi lapolin. We'll say ben bayis in the Mishnah is somebody who's like my right hand man, someone who runs my business for me. He's hiring workers. He's bringing merchandise in and out. And I will say, what's the halacha? The halacha is that I can ask him to take a shvuah if I am suspicious of any activity. Why? Umay shnohani. We'll say, what's come the name there between all these people? The ben bayis who's like the guy who's running my business partner, I could have also asked any of these people to swear to me that they're not doing anything dishonest. Swear to me that you didn't take anything that's rightfully mine. Why I both say could I go ahead and make someone take a shvuah, that definitive proof? Both say this is amazing. Because I will say in certain relationships, it's easy to be mora heter. Right? I will say if you have two people, Reuven and Shimon, are at business together. And what happens? You know, Reuven is taking a little bit more than his fair share. So I'll say, so is that called theft? To everybody but Reuven, right? Why? Because what does Reuven say? You know, Shimon took 3 days off last week, right? Shimon left the office every single day at 5:30. You know, I didn't leave till 7. I know we're 50-50 business partners, right? And I know that he did this and he did that. But you know what? Look, I'm pulling a lot more of the weight in the partnership. I'm doing a lot more of the work. Therefore, I should have the right to take a little bit more. Is it theft? I'm not a ganav. I just work harder. Right? And therefore, again, I'm entitled to more. So we'll say, because this hora'as heter, a person can be more a heter in all of these cases, therefore Chazal gave the ability for one of the parties in these type of business relationships to actively command the other to take a shvua so as to ascertain that the other is being honest in their business dealings because of the concern of hora'as heter. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up a Meretz Hashem here tomorrow. I will say tomorrow is the last day of Shavuos. We'll probably get a little bit of an earlier start because it's a longer Amud Beis. Baruch Hashem. Shkeh, I'll say. I'm sure.